2. The Book Exchange. Tom hastily ducked under his sheets, strategically placing the book in his pillow. He knew that if he was caught, especially with an illegal item, he was finished. Thoughts flashed through his head about the different forms of punishment. No food, standing in the freezing rain for hours, twice the workload for a couple of months. Banished to the dungeon, a musky and decrepit room in the cellar. The dreaded kitchen duty, solitude in the attic. Or, worst of all, something he could never mention or think about. Just as Speckle approached, his stick tightly clenched in his fist, Richie, 10 years old, knocked over a chair on the other side of the room. Speckle stopped and shined the flashlight in the opposite direction. This was a typical diversion tactic that the orphans had mastered. Whenever another child was in trouble, they would do anything to distract the attention of the deviant. Dropping an object, knocking something over, or even yelling out usually did the trick. Although they risked retribution, it diffused the situation and helped the other in need.
"What's that ridiculous racket over there?"
Speckle yelled, his temper flaring.
"Nothing, sir. I'm sorry," Richie stammered. "I was getting up to get my blanket and
"Stop that muttering and shut your mouth," he grumbled in an icy tone. "Now pick up that chair and get back to sleep."
Flustered, Speckle pulled out the dreaded notepad and noisily flipped through the pages. This little book listed every mistake made and incident caused by an orphan. Speckle recorded everything and forgot nothing.
27, Molly. 31, Nicholas. 34, Patrick. And there it is, number 39, Richie. Yes, the stutterer. Another infraction for 39, he sneered, scribbling a few notes in his book. I'll deal with you in the morning.
He suspiciously scanned the room again, then hastily left, slamming the door behind him. Distressed, Tom knew that the mission was even more dangerous than before, but he had to go through with it. Everyone counted on a new book each month. It was the only way to be inspired and learn at Weatherly. He waited until 11:30 p.m. and got up, throwing on his tattered jacket and gathering what he needed. He stuffed the book in his shirt and tiptoed toward the door, taking every step with caution.
"Good luck, Tom,"
whispered Richie, suddenly awakened and wiping sleep from his eyes.
"Be careful."
"Thanks. I owe you one."
Tom pulled out a safety pin tucked beneath his collar and jiggled the lock. After a few moments, it clicked open. Unfortunately, these bedroom doors were the only place this technique worked. It was a valuable trade secret passed on by Patrick. When Tom opened the door, it was pitch black, except for a sliver of moonlight shining through a cracked window.
"It's now or never," he murmured to himself,
leaving the secluded protection of the bedroom. The floorboards creaked as Tom walked into the damp hallway and towards the staircase. Half blinded by the darkness, he used the wall to guide him, running his hand along the rough surface. He slowly manoeuvred down the stairs, taking each step with care and avoiding the middle section where it made the most noise. He paused and surveyed the different rooms. No sign of anyone. He continued through the main foyer and approached the back door. It was locked. This was normal, but the orphans knew that the key was hidden on top of the doorframe, out of their reach. Unless, of course, you stood on a solid object. Tom quietly glided across the room, grabbed a chair and carefully positioned it. He climbed up, snatched the key and unbolted the lock. After meticulously putting the chair back, he opened the door and crept out. The freezing air caught him off guard. His teeth chattered and his breath crackled. The moonlight illuminated the ground, silhouetting the landscape. It also made it more dangerous, for the brighter the moon, the easier he could be spotted. Although the Grievous's mansion was only 100 yards away, It seemed like miles. Tom courageously started towards their house, hiding among the dormant bushes and lifeless trees, their branches surrendered to the cruel winter. One of the most important things to remember was finding the exact location of wind. The dog's hearing was legendary, and his chain was long. Tom scampered across the grass towards the mansion and quickly ducked behind a mulberry tree situated 20 feet from the back of the house. This was always the best entry point, for it was dark and rarely occupied. But where was wind? He wondered. Not knowing this critical information only added to his fear. Just then, he heard a faint growl coming from behind. It started with a subdued rumble, slowly growing deeper and louder. Tom twisted his head. Standing 10 feet away was Wind, his white fangs glistening and eyes focused on his victim. Nicknamed Wind because no one ever saw him coming, this huge, unsightly dog terrorized everyone. If it weren't for the 20-foot chain that kept him anchored to a metal post, there wouldn't be any children left. Sometimes, the Grievouses just let him wander the grounds, barking at anything and chasing everything. Those were the best times to stay inside or run for shelter. Scared but undaunted, Tom steadily reached in his jacket and pulled out a piece of salami. It was a regrettable waste of food, but the only safeguard each orphan carried on these monthly excursions. Instantly, Wind's eyes lit up and his mouth closed. He was transfixed by the object. Tom tossed the salami about 30 feet behind Wind and bolted for the house. While the dog devoured the tasty treat, Tom made it to the Grievous's back window. Perhaps Sarah's locket did bring me luck, he thought fondly. Standing by the glass, he peered inside. It was unoccupied. He removed a skinny metal ruler from his pocket and slid it between the double-hung windows, unlatching the brass lock. As Tom gently opened the window, it squeaked against the wooden frame. He stopped and looked around. No one heard. Pushing it up, he climbed in and landed softly on the floor. The room was dark, except for a hint of light coming from the hallway. The walls were lined with mahogany cabinets and hundreds of leather-bound books. Everything from Geoffrey Chaucer and William Shakespeare to Jane Austen and George Eliot inhabited the neglected shelves. Tom quietly closed the window and silently walked over to this treasure trove of knowledge, diligently surveying each book. After searching through the first 3 rows, he couldn't find any Dickens or Hardy, so he climbed up and checked the 4th level. Tom held on with one hand and looked through the books with the other. After several minutes, he spotted The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe nestled in the middle of the 5th shelf. Perfect, he said softly. As he reached up and grabbed it, the bookshelf tilted forward. He held on tightly as it rocked back and forth. The creaking noise was dreadful, echoing throughout the room. Perhaps they're not meant to be climbed on, he quickly surmised. Tom desperately tried to balance himself, visualizing the impending disaster. A few fretful moments later, the swaying slowed and the shelf settled back into place. Tom's forehead was dripping with sweat, his shirt soaked. He let out a long, sigh of relief.
"Who's in there?"
Mr. Grievous bellowed from another room. Hanging on by one arm, Tom quickly removed the old book from under his shirt and slid it into the vacant space. Footsteps approached from the hallway. Tom hastily maneuvered down and hid behind a leather chair in the far corner of the study. The door swung open. A desk lamp flicked on. Mr. Grievous entered, looking around and breathing heavily.
"What's that noise?"
he muttered, holding a cigar in one hand and a wine glass in the other. A heavyset man with blonde curly hair, Mr. Grievous wore a bright red riding coat, tall black boots, and carried a horse crop he often used for striking orphans. an unscrupulous wretch, he liked to think of himself as an English gentleman. English he was. A gentleman he was not. Puffing like a chimney, he constantly reeked of cigars and waddled more than walked. Mr. Grievous shuffled around until he stood right over the chair. Tom remained motionless. Not a sound escaped from his lips. Looking puzzled, Mr. Grievous continued to examine the room, making sure everything was in its proper place. The desk was untouched, no chairs moved, windows shut. Then he looked at the bookshelves and did a mental count.
Nothing's missing, he mumbled, scratching his head. I know I heard something.
Exhausted from his sudden excitement, he plopped down on the leather seat and continued puffing his cigar, a bluish haze lingering in the air. The smoke drifted over the chair and engulfed Tom, penetrating his eyes and nose. He wanted to cough and sneeze, but silence was crucial. Desperate to breathe, he covered his face. The smell was nauseating and unbearable. His legs began to cramp, and his head felt dizzy. After enduring 20 agonizing minutes, Tom watched with relief as Mr. Grievous finally extinguished his cigar in a nearby ashtray, took one last sip of wine, and fell asleep. The loud snoring vibrated through the room. Anxiously, looking for an exit, Tom silently crawled back to the window, knowing freedom was only inches away. He nudged it open just enough, climbed through, and closed it quietly. Using his ruler, he re-secured the brass lock. Now aware of the exact location of Wind and the length of his chain, Tom kept to the far south side of the estate, outflanking the dog's last position. Strategically dashing from tree to bush, he made it back to the castle door and twisted the knob. It was locked.
Impossible! He stammered, his hands trembling. Who could have locked it?
Remaining calm, Tom remembered the emergency backup plan. If an orphan was ever locked out, there was a slim chance the kitchen door was unlocked. Mr. Picketers, the cook, often forgot to secure it when he left. But it was directly under Speckle's bedroom. Tom had no choice. He carefully ran around the building and stopped by the kitchen entrance. He tried the door. The knob turned slowly. Relieved, he pushed his way in and firmly closed it. The kitchen was pitch black, creating an obstacle course of rusty stoves and outdated equipment. The smell of stale bread and spoiled soup permeated the congested space. Tom moved stealthily around, reaching out for unseen objects as he tried to find his way to the other side. He occasionally knocked his head on a copper pot dangling from the ceiling, but quickly rubbed away the stinging sensation. Following a few more jabs to his side from sharp corners, he found the exit and stepped softly into the dining hall. Gingerly walking across the hardwood floor, he entered a corridor and stopped. Passed out by the fireplace were Brewster and Sludge, snoring in unison. Tom gently tiptoed past and started for the stairs when he heard someone coming. He jumped behind an antique cabinet and knelt. In staggered a dark figure carrying a candle and reeking of alcohol. It was the groundskeeper, Mr. Crowley, better known as the Badger, because he was small but mean and nasty. Although he oversaw maintenance, no one was sure what he fixed or repaired, trimmed or cut, raked or cleaned. But he certainly drank a lot. A short, stocky man, Crowley had skin like leather, a few sprouts of hair, and a pudgy nose. Tom remained stationary while Crowley stumbled into the kitchen, probably heading for a late-night snack. Tom cautiously made his way up the stairs and back to his room. Once the book was securely hidden, he crawled into bed, closed his eyes, and instantly drifted off to sleep. The mission was accomplished. Early the next morning, Tom was violently awakened by the shaking of his bed.
"Get up!" yelled Speckle, towering over him. "You're coming with me!"